Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
In Isaiah chapter 48, you are in the middle of a passage where God is bragging on himself and has been for several chapters, and rightly so. And in verse 11 of Isaiah 48, the Lord says, "For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another." Now the Lord said, "I will not give my glory unto another," and he said this in the midst of a passage dealing with the vanity and foolishness of idolatry. And today there are many professing Christians who are idolatrous, and they don't even realize it. So in this broadcast, we're going to expose their idolatry in hopes of being able to convince them to turn from it. So we'll get right down to the basic and the most fundamental examples of idolatry in the heart of a professing Christian. You are idolatrous if, number one, your worship of God includes images. If your worship of God includes images, you are idolatrous. Isaiah 44, look at verse 9. In Isaiah 44, 9, "They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god, or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together, let them stand up, yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together." And then he goes on in Isaiah 44 to describe that this fellow takes a tree that won't rot and makes an image out of it, and then he warms himself with the coals of the remaining wood that he uses to give heat, and he cooks his food with the other part of the tree, and he said, "Do you not get it? He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand?" You don't see the problem? If the god that he made is made out of wood that he can burn to heat him, to warm himself and to heat his food, that's not a god. That's not a god. That's a man whose god is his belly. Okay? And he says that's vanity. It profits nothing. In Psalm 115, the Lord goes on to describe these statues, these idols. Psalm 115, verse 4. The Bible says, "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them." Do you see that? An idol, a statue, an image, is not alive. It's not alive. It is something man-made, all right, incapable of conveying life, incapable of doing anything. It is imaginary. It is an image. Now, these images include things like statues. And you may find these in a church, or you may find them outside or of a church or in some other place. Statues. Crucifixes. You'll find these commonly in churches. You'll find them commonly in homes. You'll find them in restaurants and places of business. Pictures. Pictures of the Lord, or what people conceive or think of as the Lord, that they hang in prominent places, maybe in their house, or that they hang in a business or some place, so they can see it. Rosaries, scapulars. You may not even know what a scapular is. Medals, a medal that has an image of Mary on it, or perhaps a crucifix on it, or something like that, or a saint. Okay, these are all images, and they profess, the people that have them, to use these as an aid to worship. Well, when your worship of God includes images, you are idolatrous. You see, in many places, these statues are venerated. That means that they're worshiped. They're held in high esteem like God himself. And people make pilgrimages to see these images and to touch them if they can, if they're not protected. There are such places like Medjugorje in Yugoslavia, Fatima in Portugal, Guadalupe in Mexico. I haven't been to Medjugorje in Yugoslavia, but I have seen and been to Fatima, been to Guadalupe, all right? And these things, these places, these statues, they're venerated. I remember when we were in the Philippines many years ago, and in Cebu City, I went to a shrine, and there was a statue of Jesus in that shrine, and all of it was behind glass except for the feet, and people could come by and rub those toes or kiss those toes of the feet of that statue. And I mean, they would line up in droves to be able to do that, to touch that thing. And like I said, there are people that make pilgrimages to see these things. I remember when I was a child in Mexico City and I saw Guadalupe. I remember people coming for miles on their knees, crawling, making their pilgrimage to get to that statue, just knowing that God was going to be entreated for them because of their veneration of that statue. Same thing in Fatima. As a matter of fact, there is a path where people who come in like that can approach to the statue where apparently Mary appeared. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There is a spirit that is associated with these statues and with these articles, that is, with these pictures or these crucifixes or these rosaries or little statues or whatever. People often report supernatural occurrences around them and attribute supernatural blessings to them. People will go to these hoping to be healed or to have some miracle performed in their life or to get some special blessing from the Lord. May I tell you something? These statues, these crucifixes, these rosaries, these scapulars, these medals, these pictures are not God. Let me say it again. These are not God, and they don't draw you closer to God. They are lifeless. They are lifeless statues. They are lifeless man-made objects. And what happens is they become objects of worship, and when they do, they are idols, and when you involve them in your worship of God, you are idolatrous. You say, I don't like you talking like that. I understand, but I'm giving you Bible, and please understand, there are multitudes of verses in the Bible concerning this doctrine. I am, for the sake of time, only giving you a couple on this point. But you can go to Exodus chapter 20. You can go to 1 Kings and find time and time again where statues became part of the worship around the temple, and they had to be cleared out, thrown out. Hezekiah dealt with it. Josiah dealt with that problem. And on, as eventually the idolatry became such a problem, God just ran Israel out of their land completely and destroyed the temple. He just got sick and tired of it. All right, God said, I'll not give my glory unto another. He's not going to give his glory unto a statue, that's for sure. You are idolatrous if your worship of God includes images. Secondly, you are idolatrous if your worship of God induces superstition. Go with me for this to Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is in Athens. And there he's noticing that people worship at an altar called, it's an altar to the unknown God. And there are definitely things associated with this altar that are like images, because Paul deals with that whole subject just like we have in verse 25 when he says, neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And then he comes down and he says, as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So he's talking about the ignorance of idolatry there. All right, now in this passage, in Acts chapter 17, look what Paul says in verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive, Acts 17:22, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. So you are idolatrous if your worship of God includes images, and you are idolatrous if your worship of God induces superstition. You see, idolatrous people associate their blessings in life with the proper recognition of some representation of God on earth, or they associate their blessings in life with the proper homage to some representation of God on earth. In other words, you may have an altar or a statue at home that you bow to or kiss or rub. You may have some picture or rosary or statue in your automobile, and you acknowledge it or touch it or pray to it when you get in your vehicle. Or you may make the sign of the cross before a sporting event or a play, or after a sporting event or a play. And all of this is done believing that God will bless you as a result of this thing that you have or this thing that you have done. I remember years ago visiting with a fellow that drove for Budweiser, and he was making a delivery in his tractor trailer rig. And somebody pulled out in front of him, and when that person did, the driver was successful in veering away from the person who ran through the intersection, taking the truck across oncoming traffic and into a ditch without flipping it or creating any other problems whatsoever. He was able to drive out of the thing. And he said that the reason that he survived an accident potentially in that case was one thing. He had his fingers on his rosary. He was praying his rosary while he was driving that truck, and God blessed him and spared him in that truck. Now, I'm going to tell you what that is. That's superstition. He is associating the blessing of God with what he was doing with that object, that rosary. He attributed power and supernatural blessing to the object. Now, all of this is done believing that God is going to bless you because of the thing you have or the thing you do with what you have. Now, you're aware, really, this is where the superstition is. You are aware that if you don't acknowledge that thing, or touch it, or kiss it, or pray to this thing, that, or if you don't make the sign of the cross, something bad could happen to you. That you failed to appease the Lord, and so that's superstition. Many years ago, a friend of mine was dying of cancer, and unfortunately, by this age, I've had a number of people that were friends of mine that have died of cancer. But in this particular case, this lady had been an employee of mine many years ago, and we'd worked together. And she was dying of cancer, and I'd gone by to see her, to talk to her about the Lord Jesus Christ. And at this time, she was so sick, she was lying on the floor on a pallet. And her goal was to live long enough to survive to her next anniversary, the anniversary that she and her husband were going to celebrate of their marriage. And she did. She lived until that day, and the next day she died. So she is so weak at this time. And I talked to her, witnessed to her. It turns out that during the course of the evening, we had talked many times before she knew the gospel. During the course of the evening, she received the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. She trusted Jesus Christ. And her husband was in the next room drinking beer. And so he didn't want anything to do with the conversation that she and I were having. Afterwards, when he came in there to see her and to see how things had gone, she had a beautifully radiant smile on her face and had told him that she had trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And he said, well, come here, I want to show you something, talking to me, because his wife wasn't going to be able to get up. So I said, sure. And so we went into the hallway, and in the hallway, he had a statue of Mary. And it was beautifully painted, beautifully made. And on the toes of that, actually it wasn't on the toes of that statue, that's the one that was in Cebu. On the head of that statue, the paint had been rubbed off and a gold under painting was visible. And he told me when he looked at that statue, he said, every morning I come by here and I rub the head of that statue. He said, that's where my trust is. That's where my help is. Right there. You know what that is? That's superstition. Listen, if you really think, but when you get in that car, that God's going to bless you more because you've made the sign of the cross, you're superstitious. You're scared to death if you realize when you've been driving down the road that you forgot to do that. You hurry and make that sign. Or if you don't give the proper homage and acknowledgement to the statue that you have there somewhere in the vehicle, or some picture, or some little thing maybe that you have hanging off the mirror or on the turn indicator that almost like a rabbit's foot, and I don't mean to demean it that way. I know that you give it a lot of credit, but I'm going to tell you something. That one's about the same as the other. The statue, all those things are convincing you that you are going to succeed or be safe or prosper because you have paid proper homage to this thing, this article, this object. That's superstition. You are idolatrous if your worship of God includes images, or your worship of God induces superstition, or if your worship of God inspires covetousness. Ephesians 5:5 says, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So he says a covetous man is an idolater. Okay? Covetousness is idolatry, and that's what Colossians 3:5 says. Colossians 3:5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And I'm going to tell you, there are many professing Christians whose concept of God is so closely connected to possessions and money that they can't tell one from the other. And that's right. They can hardly speak about God without speaking about possessions. They can hardly speak about God without speaking about money. And one is connected so closely to the other that they see the increase of possession or the increase of money as the blessing of God. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17 differs. Revelation 3:17 says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You see that? The guy was a mess but couldn't tell it because he was blessed with possessions and money. And what you see then is you see this is not a person who's been blessed by God. This is a covetous person who has increased his wealth. And the truth of the matter is he loves money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Prosperity preaching today is idolatrous. That's right. This man that comes in there and says, okay, plant your seed of faith money with me so that you can, give me $1,000, God will give you $10,000. All that type of thing, that prosperity preaching, all of that is religious, of course. And they twist the Bible in order to be able to teach it as truth, of course. But the truth of the matter is prosperity preaching is idolatrous. It is rooted in the love of money. It is rooted in covetousness. God is blessing me because my possessions are increasing, you see. Now, many of the big-name preachers are covetous and thus idolatrous. And many of those who follow them are likewise idolaters. You look to God as a slot machine for increasing your wealth and possessions. And you've got to remember something. Jesus told us that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. He said, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And you've got to remember that. Now listen, it certainly makes life easier if you, I'm talking about in a carnal sense, if you have enough money in the bank to be able to buy your groceries and all that. But you know what it does? It obscures faith. It obscures faith. It obscures dependence upon the Lord. And what happens is, if you're not careful, your dependence is now upon your bank account, or on your possessions, on your gold, on your jewelry, on your big house. And the proof of God's blessing in your life is the accumulation of wealth. That is idolatry. Listen, you look in that Bible, Paul didn't have anything when he died. He was basically broke. Jesus Christ was penniless and didn't even have his own clothes when he died. And yet, in that poverty, he became exceedingly rich and has a name exalted above every name. You're not going to measure God's blessing in your life in the New Testament based upon the increase of your wealth and possession. All you're going to measure is your idolatry and your covetousness. Now, it may be a great blessing that God has, in fact, blessed you financially. Praise the Lord for it. Praise the Lord for it. That's right. I don't envy anybody that has been blessed by the Lord and has been given an increase in wealth. But I'm going to tell you something. God is not more God because he did that for you. And the Bible says, unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And so you honestly have a very, very a sincere responsibility to recognize that God is God, whether you have blessings or not. He's not a better God because he blesses you more, and a bad God because he blesses you less. Your faith is not stronger because you have more in possession. Now, with possession, you have to exercise a great deal of wisdom. With possession, you have to exercise a great deal of responsibility. And so you've got to really be careful here. Oftentimes God gives it to you, turn around and give it to somebody else, and you have to do what he says. So remember these things. Images, superstition, and covetousness are the telltale signs of idolatry. If you're honest with God and find that any of these are in you, then you are idolatrous. And if you are idolatrous, you must repent. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, what? Well, it says very simply that you can't serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. No man can serve two masters. So either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, the Lord says, be zealous therefore and repent. Acts chapter 17, which we already looked at, it says, this ignorance, perhaps you weren't aware of it. God winked at the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men, that includes you, everywhere, that includes you, to repent. You see, you know what you have to do. You've got to get rid of the images. You got to fear God and let go of that superstition that is associated with what you do or what you have that you think God is using to bless you, like some sort of a statue or your sign of the cross or whatever it is you do. You need to turn your love back to the Lord and away from the possessions, because God's good whether you have them or you don't. He's not any more God whether he gives them to you or doesn't. Don't let money be your God. See, the Lord God is the true and only God, and like he said in our text in Isaiah 48:11, he will not give his glory unto another. He ain't going to do it. He's not going to give his glory to that statue or to that rosary or to that medal or to that picture or that scapular. He's not going to give it to that thing you do, that ritual. He's not going to give his glory to what you possess. God's glory is apart from all visible manifestations of his blessings in your life. All those other things are lifeless objects. He is the living God, worthy of the glory and worthy of your worship and worthy of your trust. Trust him and quit trusting your association with those images. Trust him and quit trusting your superstitions. Trust him and quit trusting your possessions. They can't do anything for you, and God can do everything for you. The Bible says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. So worship him and turn away from the worship of your idols.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.